This is the doubleheader. We're back with Mark Shields and David Brooks to talk about the sport of politics and the politics of sport. Thank you so much for showing up. Really, you should just get an award just for showing up. All right, let's talk on the politics front. You'll probably talk about this with that guy Jim Lehrer downstairs. However, President Obama passes this big compromise. He's very proud of the fact that Democrats and Republicans reached across the aisle, came together for this. But really, did they compromise on something very difficult? I mean, giving tax cuts seems like a pretty easy thing to agree on over time.
Hey, it's really tough. And the president says to you, Harry, I'm going to ask you, in the interest of the country, would you please put aside all your self-interest and the easy thing and vote for a tax cut for everybody? How about it, huh? And especially your major contributors. How about that? Huh? That's Mr. President, only because it's in the best interest of the country will I swallow my misgivings and vote for it.
And not the toughest part. They were fighting. I mean, there was a lot of people on the right. Well, first we had the uproar on the left, which was widely reported. But the uproar on the right was very strong. Started in talk radio, but spread to people like Jim DeMint. So there was real opposition. I think it was a tough vote for some people.
Five votes in the Senate. Five Republican votes in the Senate. And how many in the House?
I don't know.
30?
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, I agree. I fundamentally agree.
It's an interesting vote presidentially.
That's right.
Because every potential presidential candidate came out against it on the Republican side. I mean, who took a stand, right? Right. Sarah Palin did, Mitt Romney did, and Mike Pence did.
Was it relating to a piece of legislation that the president helped craft back in the day about increasing transparency that got so many Republicans kind of steamed up at the end when it comes to the omnibus spending bill? Because you could now see exactly who earmarked what and what kind of pork you're stuffing in there. And there were quite a few Republicans that were kind of called out and said, wait a minute, you're so against earmarks, you've got $100 million in there.
Well, the rules have changed about earmarks. I mean, a bill that by the standards of 4 years ago was not particularly egregious on earmarks now is suddenly unacceptable. And I think there are about 9 Senate Republicans who they saw the bill and it seemed fine to the way business had been conducted. And it took a little reminder from Mitch McConnell and the Tea Party to say, no, this is not how we're doing it anymore. And I have sort of mixed feelings about it. I think earmarks did get out of control. There are a lot of good things funded by earmarks.
Do you think the Tea Party is having that influence then?
I think the Tea Party has an enormous influence. And it was sort of funny to watch John Cornyn of Texas and John Thune of South Dakota stand up and say, my goodness, this is a terrible, this omnibus spending bill is awful. It's just an outrage and indefensible. And they said, well, wait a minute, you've got 26 earmarks in it, Mr. Thune himself at South Dakota. Well, I like the projects, but I'm not going to vote for the bill. And Thune had 45, and Cornyn had 45 in there for Texas. I think they're looking over their shoulder at a 2012 primary on both sides. They don't want to incur the wrath of the Tea Party people who are exercised and legitimately angry about earmarks. But I will say this, Harry. I think Bob Bennett, the retiring senator from Utah, put his finger on it when he said, you give up earmarks, Congress, and all the decisions are going to be made by the president and the executive. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the spending decisions. I mean, in a strange way, they're surrendering the principal prerogative of Congress, which is the purse, the power of the purse. They just cut it over. So no one got to have anything to do with it. I think if they're open and transparent, you see who put it in there, why they put it in, that it isn't for a profit organization, I think it's a legitimate thing to do.
All right, finally, the politics of sport. UConn women's basketball could tie UCLA's male basketball streak this weekend, and then I think they would, if they win this weekend and they win Tuesday, they would have the all-time record. Fair, unfair? Are we not giving, should we not even be comparing them? And I won't, go ahead, say your off-the-record statement on the record.
No, I mean, I think that it's fair to say that UCLA, when they did do it in the great John Wooden era, were playing top-flight opponents every night. I think that UConn's achievement is impressive. They've got a great team. Geno's a great coach, and it's a great program. But there are some real cupcakes on that schedule. They're not playing Tennessee every night, and they're not playing top notch. But it's an amazing achievement, and how they get these young women of such exceptional talent to go to Storrs, Connecticut, which is on the other side of the world, is a major story in itself. And Geno deserves great credit.
Geno is he's a first name basis. Yeah. I'm more of a John Calhoun guy. I don't think they get along. Jim Calhoun, I'm not even close to either of them, to be honest.
In fact, Geno calls him John.
John, and right? That's part of their problems. But my meta observation is that women's collegiate basketball, like a lot of sports, is centralized. Yeah. The same few teams go, they cruise through the tournament. And then there are like eight really good teams, and the rest are okay. We're on the men's side. I don't know why, but there are a lot of really good teams.
That's a good point, you know. But I do love to watch women's basketball because they pass. They really do. I mean, it is a well-coached game, and it's a great team game. It truly is.
My daughter plays ice hockey, and her coach has a very astute observation that guys will play well together if they hate each other. For the girls' ice hockey, they have to like each other. And they work really hard on community building. And I don't know if that's true. That's his observation after years of coaching. It may be true. I don't know.
All right. Boy. The view.
The doubleheader turns into The View. All right. Thanks so much for watching. This is Mark Shields, David Brooks. I'm Hari Srinivasan. Come back again.